Rubal in for Steve Cochran here on 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. Happy day before New Year's Eve. Chilly outside today, but enjoy it while you can. Ryan Burrow from ABC News in our own actual newsroom is in studio with us right now. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. All apologies. I like that. Is there some kind of underlying reference there to the, the bumper music?
We'll see what Ron says at 2 o'clock this afternoon, won't we?
Good point, yeah.
So Jason Van Dyke had his first day in court yesterday, pleaded not guilty. To what? Charges of first-degree murder, right?
Sure. Yeah, to the in the Laquan McDonald scene. We've all seen the video. I mean, it's kind of interesting because, I mean, it's all kind of laid out for us there as to what happened. There really aren't any questions. It's just a matter of how prosecutors are going to go after this and how the defense is going to try to, essentially say, look, this is a line of duty. This is what police officers deal with every day and try to, you have to remember, too, it's not going to be, it's going to be up to prosecutors to prove the case. I mean, all the defense needs is one or two people on the jury to say, this is just a line of duty decision that a police officer made. So we'll see kind of as this thing goes forward.
It's going to be fascinating to see what happens with this, because if you just look at the video, it's hard to say. And I know you're right. You just need one or two people not to go along. You need a unanimous verdict, right? But boy, you look at that video and he's not lunging at him. He's walking away from them.
Sure.
And the shots start happening. It seems like a real tough defense.
But think about what's about to happen today. We now know that only 1 in 5 police officers has a taser. We know that only 16% of the officers are trained in any kind of mental illness capacity. And so perhaps a defense would be, well, look, the officer wasn't properly trained. There were no tasers on the scene, and as a result, you really can't pin it on the cop in this situation. I know it would be it's really hard for us to listen to, but I mean the process is going on right now. We saw the shooting this weekend, the double shooting by the officer of the Quintonio LeGreer and Betty Jones. And look, there was no tasers that were used. There was no person who was apparently able to handle a mental illness at the scene, and that's something that's going to change and likely probably should change, I think, and perhaps that's a defense.
Well, and there's two separate, very separate cases there, because in that one, I believe from what we've heard and read, is that no officer was made aware that there was a mental illness issue before they arrived there, so that information wasn't clearly given to them. If he was, and we don't know all the details with that, but if he was coming at them with a bat and nobody there has a taser, that's the big issue, is why doesn't everybody have a taser? And it sounds like that might be addressed. But in that situation, so somebody's coming at him with a bat, what do you do? If all you have is a gun, do we train them that unless they have a gun, we don't shoot? Do they still carry their batons? I don't know if they do, but are we trained to try to fight back with that, or what do you do? I mean, if you're going to get hit in the head with a bat, how do you defend yourself? So that one's up in the air. With the Laquan McDonald video, here's the thing. You're right. Maybe we could find a way that they say, listen, nobody there had a taser. There was nothing else we could do. And while he wasn't, according to this video, an immediate threat to that officer, he is walking, we believe from that video, we do see, he does have a knife in his hand,
small
correct?
That has been established. Knife. Yeah, that was actually kicked out of his hand after he goes down.
Mm-hmm. So he's got a knife, and he's walking away from us, and there's other people. There's cars on the streets. He had been, whatever they can prove he had done before this moment. Maybe they argue he was a threat, and we had to stop that threat. He was not listening to us. He had a knife, and he was walking away from us towards other cars, people. We didn't know what we were going to encounter. We had to stop him there.
Slashed a police vehicle, the tires of a police vehicle.
Is that
was
true?
Running
I thought
away.
That's
well,
been that's, disputed.
That has been disputed, but obviously that's going to be something that comes up in evidence here. And had been alleged to have been stealing car radios. And we did see one video from a police dash cam of him running away just right in front of that Burger King.
Right.
Just before he stops and then starts walking, and that's when the dash cam comes that we see.
And so that adds to a larger question. If somebody's running away or stealing car radios, if we're going to allege all that, does that mean, okay, so then we shoot him? That's another debate, right? I mean, so what if he's stealing car radios? He needs to be arrested. He needs to be apprehended. It doesn't mean he needs to be shot. But we argue all that. We say, hey, he's got the knife. He's walking away. He slashed a tire. We believe he's dangerous. We have to do something. You can make that argument for one shot or two shots
16.
Or three shots.
Yeah.
But he's lying on the ground and he's repeatedly being shot. That's where this defense, I would think, is going to get very tricky. Matt Fubala in for Steve Cochran here on Radio 720 WGN. Good morning, everybody. A little bit of snow falling on Michigan Avenue. I think the weather was calling for a couple of inches around the Chicago area today, so a little more issues for your travel day are probably coming your way. Ryan Burrow, our WGN Radio ABC News reporter, is in studio with us talking about everything that will be going on today. We had the Laquan McDonald, Officer Van Dyke hearing yesterday, pleaded not guilty to first-degree murder. And we've got Rahm Emanuel doing a press conference at 2 p.m. this afternoon where he's expected to announce some new initiatives. He's trying to, spin the stories to the positive changes we're making. Right, Ryan, what are you expecting to hear today?
Sure. No, he wants to get a taser on every police officer, which I think many of us were surprised to find out that only one in five has a taser available. And then, announce some changes, some de-escalation tactics, that make it less likely for, police who pull up to a scene to, engage immediately and draw their weapon immediately. We've seen situations, we've seen it with police chases. A lot of times, a lot of these police forces will back off from police chases. They know who they're looking for. They know the license plate number. Getting into a high-speed chase with these people it just is not valuable and puts more people in danger. So I don't exactly know what these tactics will entail, but some kind of de-escalation, which, who knows, may ease some tensions in some of these neighborhoods.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see what he offers, what kind of questions he takes. They said there'll be media availability, so he will take questions after this press conference.
If he's cutting his trip short to Cuba and he's coming home into, 30-degree temperatures today in the snow, he's going to do everything he can to assure the public and assure the media that he's on the case.
So I'm interested in this court case. Cook County Judge Vincent Gaughan, is that how we pronounce his last name, Gaughan?
Yeah, I believe so.
Is been assigned the case. He's had a lot of high-profile cases before. He presided over the 2008 trial of R. Kelly. He did the trials of James Degorski and Juan Luna, who were convicted of the 1993 murders at the Brown's Chicken. And so that seems like, okay, they made a choice to get this guy who knows this is going to be a huge public hearing. This is a lot of stuff. But it said in the story in the Tribune that they actually run it through a program and it's randomly assigned. It seems odd that you just happened to luck out on a guy who knows how to handle these things.
And Dan Herbert, the attorney for Officer Van Dyke, actually seemed pretty pleased afterwards who the judge was. So he seems to think he's going to be able to get a fair trial from this judge.
Dan Herbert has not indicated whether the client will select a jury or bench trial. Chicago police officers have historically chosen to have their cases directly heard by a judge. And I think that it would be interesting to see how that works out. And because, like you said, on a jury, just need one person to disagree and fight that off and maybe get a hung jury or whatever. But with a judge, I don't know, maybe then it's not so much just emotion and bias. It's somebody looking directly at the law. Maybe that becomes favorable. I guess his attorney will have to figure out what's the best play on that.
Yeah, exactly. Finding a jury, seating a jury and jurors who don't have skin in the game and haven't really followed the case may not be easy. I mean, we've been talking about this since before Thanksgiving. When this video was released, some people have been talking about it for even longer. I mean, this case has clearly divided the city, and to find people in Cook County who either don't have an opinion or haven't been involved or been understanding of this case in some way may be a challenge. So it's going to be up to him to decide what the best avenue to go would be.
I believe Dan Herbert hasn't also decided yet, the lawyer for Officer Van Dyke, if he will ask for a change of venue.
That is
a possibility, but it's not, I think a change of venue is still local, isn't it? It's not like he's going to get this move to Montana.
Well, he hinted that he was pretty pleased with the way things were going at the end of yesterday's proceedings, and it seems it's very, very rare for a change of venue to be granted in Cook County. So, it's interesting. Actually, the family members of Laquan McDonald, it was a Reverend Martin Hunter, said that his big beef is he wants the whole thing to be
televised.
Yeah.
There's good and bad to that, I think. It was crazy when the whole OJ, that's the last really big one that I remember. I know there's little ones that people cover, but this would be a big deal in the city of Chicago. I think it would be a positive in that it would be open, that everybody could see everything that happens, maybe raises more awareness, maybe fosters more discussion. But if it becomes a bit of a circus at all, if we have lawyers who are grandstanding or whatever, that could be a detriment as well. I don't know. What do you think about that?
You know, it's interesting because they say that, and I think initially the all the TV stations go, great, this is fantastic. We'll get footage. We'll get everything live. Yeah. But then you start to think about it and go, well, wait a minute. Are we going to break programming to show this?
Yeah.
You know,
which is what they did in OJ. I mean,
yeah.
At least I was in L.A. at the time, and all the stations locally went gavel to gavel and I think lost a ton of revenue.
Sure.
While they had viewership, they weren't, you know, sponsoring this portion of the O.J. Simpson trial brought to you by.
However, I mean, it is probably in today's day and age, you know, this is something that can be live streamed on maybe the Cook County court's website or something of that nature. And then, you know, people can dip into it when they see fit.
Yeah, it will be interesting to find out how that works out. The judge is actually up for re-election. His six-year term expires next year, meaning he would need approval from 60% of voters to keep his seat on the bench. Retention vote is likely to happen before the trial would actually take place. So he needs to get reelected first, which is likely. I mean, he's recommended, so it's unlikely he would be taken out of it. But I was reading in the Tribune the reviews by the people that describe whether or not a judge should be retained. And they, the Judicial Performance Commission of Cook County cited his smarts and case management skills, but noted, quote, criticism with regard to his temper, particularly as directed toward attorneys in his courtroom. But maybe that's a good thing in this type of situation because he's not going to put up with any guff or grandstanding or things like that. The attorney for Officer Van Dyke is interesting, Dan Herbert. I was looking at his website yesterday. Mm-hmm. He's a former police officer. He's a former prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was former counsel to the police department. So he really knows all the angles on this very well. And his whole website is dedicated to protecting police officers, fire department, wrongly accused. So I imagine he's going to mount a vigorous defense.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll, like I said, we'll see how this trial goes. If it goes to a judge, if it goes for a jury, I mean, he knows how to handle either way. So, you know, this is probably more of a late 2016 story when the trial starts going.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just kind of have to see it out, how it all shakes out.
Yeah, it will be interesting. The press conference today, 2 o'clock at City Hall with Mayor Emanuel. He's supposed to announce changes, as Ryan was saying, tasers for all the police department, different training onto how you confront situations. We'll see if it makes a difference, and we'll see how the protesters react after that. I imagine there will be a protest contingent at City Hall as well, but they probably won't be able to get into the building, right?
Sure, yeah. We already know there's going to be one protest slated for New Year's Eve at noon. That may have more to do with the prison system, but they don't stop during the holidays, that's for sure. The cold weather doesn't stop them. The snow doesn't stop them. They'll continue.
As we were talking about off the air, I think the protests have been a very positive thing here in the city. They've kept focus on the issues at hand. We've seen so many protests in high-profile and high-emotion cases over the last few years get out of control, turn into violence or, you know, vandalism that has taken the subject away from the subject at hand and made it about the protesters. I commend the protesters that they've found ways to drive people a little bit crazy, but not so much enough that you're talking about them, not so much that you're not talking about the issue that they're trying to promote.
Sure. On Christmas Eve, they stood in front of the Apple store. They stood in front of H&M. They blocked people from coming in and out, but they didn't break windows.
Yeah.
There was no graffiti.
Yeah.
A little bit of pushing and shoving in front of one of the stores by police. But other than that, I mean, they've just been kind of wandering, and police let them. I mean, they wander into traffic. It stops traffic for, you know, a couple minutes, but then they walk away and go somewhere else.
And yesterday they were at Rahm Emanuel's house.
That was interesting. Yeah, we didn't know how that would turn out. A couple dozen people out there, and it sounded like they had a good old time with pizza and coffee and donuts and chanting, and I don't believe they actually saw the mayor up close.
I don't think they did. I'm sure the mayor is not happy about that, though. If he's very unhappy that people know that they're going on vacation and where, he can't be happy to have people out in front of his house. Ryan, thanks so much for checking in. We'll keep following the story. News is next on 720 WGN.